Welcome to the New World Order Disorder, a weekly broadcast hosted by Dr. Gianni Hayes. Stay tuned. Things are about to get interesting.
Johnny, and we're back with my show, and my guest is Pastor Fred R. Coulter, and we are just going the gamut of questions and answers here tonight regarding, I guess you would say, Fred, what would Jesus say? So it's kind of an open call-in forum. Right before we went to break, I asked Pastor Coulter what he thought of the New World Order. He says that the New World Order is certainly real, but Fred, I said, is it possible that the power elite are contriving this whole New World Order? And you were beginning to answer that question, so I would like you to go ahead and give you the opportunity to finish it.
Well, let's understand something. It's prophesied in the Bible that there will be a great world government under the auspices of Satan and the beast and the false prophet. And it's right now in the throes of being developed. It will consist, and ITAN will reorganize itself, maybe even move back to Geneva. And there are going to be 10 regional areas in the world, much like the European Union is, and they want to do the North American Union here, you know, Mexamericana bit. But all of those things are moving along. It's not the elite that are doing it, because, see, the elite can do nothing unless God has said that it's going to be done. And also, we need to realize that there is another power in the world who is the prince of the power of the air. He's also called the god of this world, who most people unknowingly worship.
Uh-huh.
But in the occult book that we put out, I show that the world is being prepared for the coming of the beast through the occult. And Revelation 13 says that all the world will worship Satan and the beast. So there's going to come a time where there's going to be a division between the true people of God and the whole world, which is going to run after the beast and the false prophet, and it's going to look wonderful, just like the Pope's visit here. Wonderful. One of the commentators said, seeing the Pope walk, it looks like God is walking. See? And it's going to be absolutely stunning. And only those who love God, keep his commandments, have the Spirit of God, are going to really know what's going on. A lot of other people will have many ideas about what's going on, and this political group or financial group or this country or that country, they're doing something. But when you look at the whole overall coordinated thing as outlined in the scriptures, it will show you clearly that there is a one world order coming, and there is going to be no denying it, because the last thing that man has to experience and to fail in is world government. He's had every sort of government, rejected God, wanted to have this kind of government, communism, Nazism, totalitarianism, tribalism, whatever.
Let me get a question in here, Fred. Now, if that's the case, and you know, I read the Bible, I understand that's certainly been predicted in the Bible as well. But, you know, we have high technology today. We have great ability to do things that we could not do, not more than even 10 years ago. I mean, after all, we can make a hologram of people right now. And they did one of Prince Charles not too long ago. Here's my question, then, Fred. Is it not conceivable that this power elite, who have the money, they have the means, they have the technology, they have the power, that they could actually put into place things to make us believe that end times is here and it's not really God's time yet?
No, it won't happen that way.
But could it not happen? I know you're saying it won't, but I'm asking you, isn't it feasible to say, yeah, it could, because they do have all these things?
Well, when the things that are listed in the book of Revelation and prophesied there, combined with the other prophecies in the Old and New Testament, there's not going to be any need for this technology, what do they call that, hologram deception. It's going to be the real thing.
But I'm saying, is it not feasible that they could do that now? I'm not saying they are, Fred. It could very well be God's time, but how do we know we're not being deceived? That's what I'm asking you. How do
okay,
we know,
the way you know you're
that
not
what's
being
going
deceived
on right
is
now
to know,
is not
is
man-made,
to know,
is man-made
the word
and not
of God,
God's
and understand
way.
The commandments of God and so forth. But I'm sure the different ones will try different things, but when you read Revelation 13, it's going to be the real thing. It's going to be the real power of Satan, the real power of the beast, real power of the of the false prophet.
And I don't disagree with that, but I'm just saying, what if this is not the time, but we are being led to believe it is the time?
Well, then it will be shown that it's not true. In other words, God is not going to allow this to happen unless it's time for it to happen according to his word. And if it's not, then it's going to fail.
Well, it's
just
going to
like
fail, but how far along would
first,
it get? Look what they
Iraq
did with the
war,
tower.
They said that Hussein was the king of the north. He wasn't the king of the north.
I know. And look what they did with the Tower of Babel. They wanted
sure.
to put God at his own game, and of course he crushed it. But look how many years they spent doing that, letting people think they could do this. And this is what I'm saying. Are they not using the Bible to their advantage to deceive us? That's what I'm saying to you. They're using it to their advantage.
I don't think they're... You know, if we look at some of the things, what they're trying to do is enforce their way upon us in spite of the Bible, and God won't allow that to happen. But when it's time, it's going to happen.
All right. Let's go over to what I also started to ask you before we went on break. We're getting all these questions in here. And I think that's great, Fred. You're not shying away from anything, and that's why I like to have you on. I don't always agree with you, Fred, but, you know, you're a great guest, and I respect your opinion whether I agree with it or not.
Okay.
All right, Fred, tell me
something.
What
we need to do is this, understand this. We can all have opinions. We can all agree on various different things, but in the final analysis, unless we agree with God, all of our opinions and our agreements together may not amount to very much at all.
Well, this is true, and I do think we're close, which, you know, this isn't the next question I was going to ask you, but I do want to ask you this.
Go ahead.
Does the Bible give us any indication about where we should stand with illegal immigration? Are we wrong in trying to fight it, or does God say accept all people into the country?
Okay. Now, I gave, and anyone can write in for it, just write in for why 9/11 happened. And it was a wake-up call from God, because the greatest sin that this nation is doing, and we're still into the millions per year, which is the killing of innocent children in their mother's womb via abortion.
Okay, now how does that fit in with 9/11?
Well, it fits in with 9/11 because it's the result of our sins.
Okay,
see?
Who in your mind did 9/11?
The ones, the Arabs that they know did it.
So you're sure it was the Arabs? You don't think it could have been an inside job, Fred?
Huh?
You think it could have been an inside job?
No.
No, why?
No, if anyone thinks that, they need to go to Popular Mechanics and look up the refutation of that kind of thinking. They have a lot of documentation that it did occur because of the planes crashing into it, and those men who hijacked the planes were the ones who did it. It wasn't the government who did it. and the government didn't brainwash them to do it. All of these conspiracy theories come out, and those who have those conspiracy theories that way always have to go back and readjust what their beliefs are when the true facts come out. For example, everyone said, well, you know, steel cannot melt with jet fuel. That's an impossibility. Oh, just up here in San Francisco recently, guess what happened? A truck carrying jet fuel overturned, blew up right under a freeway where they had steel girders, and guess what? They melted and bent, and the freeway fell to the ground.
Fred, have you looked at Scholars for 9/11?
Looked at what?
It's a site, Scholars for 9/11.
No.
These are scientists, Fred, who have studied 9/11 very, very closely. And these are not quacks or people out trying to make a name for them. They're themselves. These are true scholars, true scientists. And they have come out and said there was no way that that could have happened by the Muslims having done that. They said there is no conceivable way that that what happened in there was a result of dynamite that was planted in the building.
No, there was no dynamite
put
in there.
These are people who are a lot smarter than I, who are saying this, who are scientists.
Well,
not my field.
Depends. You see, just because they're scientists doesn't mean they're right. You have to ask the question first, what is their political agenda? See, and if you know what their political agenda is, then all their science is worthless. Just like this thing
but then again,
of carbon dioxide is causing global warming.
That's a bunch of baloney. Well, you're not a scientist, and you're claiming that you know more than what these scientists in there who claim they know.
I'm not claiming I know more than what they know. There are other scientists who understand that global warming is a result of sunspot activity.
So, well, okay, then with the global warming, I mean, you opened up a can of worms here, buddy. With the global warming, then, do you think that's man-made, or do you think it is all hype? It's a hoax.
Well, the Earth's temperature, when it was rising, rose exactly the same number of degrees on Mars because it was a solar system-wide rise in the temperature because of the terrific sunspot activity from the sun. So if global warming is because of human activity, how then did it warm up on Mars when there are no human beings there? There are no factories, there are no cars, there's no carbon dioxide emissions. See?
Well, I think that global warming is a political agenda to shackle
people under the burdens of what's going to develop into the one world system.
Well, like I said, you know, for me, I've been saying all along that I'm not even sure global warming is true, is real, and I've asked my college students to take another look at it and see if they could come up with something else that maybe there's another cause for it.
Go to the History Channel.
Wait, let me finish. But here's the thing. Global warming may very well be a hoax, but I would not discard a scientist disproving me on it. And likewise, I would ask you then, how could you discard a scientist, several scientists, it's not one or two or 30 or 50, but a couple hundred scientists out there saying, you know what, that could not have happened, that the Muslims did 9/11. There was dynamite in that building.
No, it never happened that way.
But that's what you say, but you're discounting experts.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you what the a popular science gave a reputation.
Except you believe everything you read, too.
Huh?
Fred, do you believe everything that you read, too?
Well, I've read those things that they put dynamite in, but you stop and say, well, how long would it take them to dynamite that whole building? Well, what you have to understand is how long does it take to dynamite a building that they want to demolish, and everyone knows they're demolishing it. That would have taken months to do, and everyone in the building would have been able to see the results of what was going on.
Wait, I don't get that, because we have a company here at where I live that does dynamite buildings. That's all they do. They collapse it. They're well known. It doesn't take a month to do that. And especially if the 9/11 had been under a long time to do that. I don't think that was something that happened the night before. I think they had planned that, you know, years in advance, and they had plans of the building. They had everything. we cannot discard William Rodriguez's testimony, who was in the tower when it shook with dynamite before a plane ever hit it. The man has been all over the country. He gives proof. How do we discard that? The man is an eyewitness. He was there.
Did he see the dynamite?
He was in the building when the building rocked before a plane even hit it. There was no plane when the building started to rock. How can
we
discard
that? Well, I would have
that?
To say this. I haven't seen that testimony, and I don't know whether it was there or whether it was something that actually happened. And if he was there, maybe the plane came in sooner than he figured. So,
no.
You know, they checked that plane
with the time that he claimed, because he was talking to somebody else. The other person said the same thing, and they did go and they checked it against the records of when the plane hit. The plane wasn't even on radar then. So how is it then the building started to rock from dynamite when you're telling me there's no way that could have happened?
All I can say is this, based on other things that I know, I question that interpretation of it, but nevertheless, the buildings no longer exist.
But would you be willing to say that it is feasible that it could have been an inside job? Or are you just going to totally disregard that and say no?
Well, if it wasn't,
it
was done by the government. It sure was successful for a stumble-bumble government that can't do anything.
Well, I think the government can be darn successful when they want to.
Okay.
We both know that.
Let's leave it at that.
But let me ask you this, then. We were talking about the illegal immigrants, and I'm saying, is God saying, Fred, that we should welcome all these illegal immigrants into our country, or should we say, enough is enough, we can't even take care of our own people?
Well, unless there's repentance of abortion and all the other sins in the nation, unless the nation turns to God and repents, you're not going to get rid of them, and you're going to be forced to welcome them on their terms because they will be here, and there's nothing you can do about it. Let me read a prophecy here in Deuteronomy 28 that everyone needs to really pay attention to, and knowing that we are the modern-day 10 tribes of Israel, namely the nation from the tribe of Manasseh. And by the way, we'll have online Judah Scepter and Joseph by J.H. Allen here in a couple days, which will really be fantastic. People can draw it down from our website, cbcg.org. Okay. Now, let me read you Deuteronomy 28, verse 43. The stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Now, that's a process. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a caller, so go ahead and finish what you're saying.
Okay. Now it gets into economics. He shall loan to you. That's precisely what's happening today. You shall not loan to him. He shall be the head. You shall be the tail. And all these curses shall come on you, and shall pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes as he has commanded you. So you tie everything in, not only abortion, that's the greatest crime. Then you have pedophile, that's the next one. Then you have all of this almost possessive obsession with sex. You have robbery and murder and drugs, and you have divorce, and you have destruction of life and property. And God is going to judge for all of these things, and he is going to send, as he says in another place, the worst of the heathen, and they are going to rule over you, and they are going to be ruthless because you didn't love God, and you didn't serve God, and you didn't keep his commandments.
All right, we got a caller here, Fred, so let's get this caller on. What is your first name, caller, and where are you calling from?
Oh, this is your buddy, Bill Gianni.
Hey, Bill, I guess you're listening to this conversation, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Fred makes some very, very good points. He really does.
Yeah, I may shoot him before the show's over, so...
No. We can't do that. I mean, you know, freedom of speech and all of that good stuff. However,
yes. I'm kidding.
And by the way, what I'm saying is not hate crime for all of those who think it is.
Yeah, I know that. Go ahead, Bill.
But with regards to the World Trade Towers, now, I have to disagree with you for numerous reasons. And the problem with the American public is they don't step back and look at the big picture. For example, what is the agenda of Popular Mechanics? Who owns the magazine? Who publishes the magazine? In addition to that, how did the buildings collapse at almost a free fall rate? And to quote a phrase from the Declaration of Independence, you know, that violates the laws of nature. The big one is how did Building 7 collapse in the exact same manner that the World Trade Towers did, and it was not hit by an airplane? Then on top of that, having practical field experience in the steel and the concrete industry, having delivered jet fuel, having watched them down at Dulles Airport and the other one, Reagan Airport, but the government's theory of what happened is a hoax. The problem.
I don't think it's a hoax. As a matter of fact, I know first-person testimony of someone standing right on the ground when the plane went into the Pentagon, and it was not a rocket. He saw the plane directly.
Well, unfortunately, eyewitnesses are not always accurate.
Well, he was right there. He saw it. He saw the plane.
Okay,
now,
then
how inaccurate can you be if you see a plane?
Next question is why were the pieces of rubble that were outside the Pentagon that were whisked away? Why was it they did not match up to the plane that allegedly hit the Pentagon building?
Well, there are people who claim that it didn't. There are people who claim that it did. Let's just end the conversation this way. Regardless of the cause, it has come upon us, and now what are we going to do in our relationship with God? Because we're arguing about details which then do not put us in a perspective that we need to return to God. We need to go after the bad guys who did it. See? And the thing is, people need to return to God.
I totally agree with what you're saying on that point. Totally. Absolutely 100%. But in the same book that you just quoted from Deuteronomy, it also says, I have set before you this day blessings and curse.
That's right.
Now, if you want to look at it scripturally and not realistically, man has a free will. And man chooses, you know, whether he's going to have blessings or curse.
But
one of the biggest detriments to what is commonly referred to as Christianity today is the failure to deal with practice and reality. And on top of that, in addition to that, is the American public finds it very, very, very difficult and hard to believe that our government, which is incidentally is only an institution, it's comprised of people.
Okay, let's go on from here. Our government is filled with robbers and crooks and hirelings and serving other masters higher than themselves. Our churches are filled with liars and hirelings who are serving masters greater than themselves. Our schools are filled with hirelings who are serving masters greater than themselves. They are not serving God. They have kicked God out. They have rejected God at every hand, whether it be in government, whether it be in church, whether it be in family, whether it be in law enforcement, whatever. And that is the problem.
Well, I also agree, Fred. That is the bottom line. But now we have to look on the other side of the curtain, and this is an area people really don't get. There are two forces at work on our planet, simplistically stated. One is called the Spirit of God. The other is called the Spirit of Lucifer. I don't dispute what you're saying, that we need to return to God. Absolutely no argument. But unfortunately, you know, the denominations of the institutional church have put God in a box, And they haven't figured out that either Paul was a liar when he said one Lord, one faith, or maybe the Christian quote-unquote church has missed quite a few things.
They have missed. Well, you can start out with this. If you just take the Ten Commandments
here,
and compare
gentlemen,
any church.
So finish up real quick.
Okay.
All right, we're coming right back, listeners. Stay tuned.
Okay.
Vitamin E prevents internal blood clots, but not all vitamin E is equal. Would you like to get a vitamin E that makes blood flow more smoothly than Plavix, but with no harmful side effects? 4-spectrum natural unesterified vitamin E complex has been called WD-40 for your blood. It actually lubricates the blood while it dissolves plaque. It prevents platelet aggregation and internal clotting. It neutralizes smoke, fumes, waste, and other harmful free radicals. Doctors report relief from angina, painful leg cramps, strokes, fibrocystic breast tumors, circulation problems, and much more. Get one bottle for $35 postpaid, two bottles for only $60 postpaid. Restore this vital nutrient removed from your food supply through food processing. Read more at 4spectrum.us, spelled number 4spectrum.us. Call 800-581-8906. That's 800-581-8906. Order today.
SwissAmerica.com reports Wednesday gold prices rose nearly 2% as the dollar marked historic lows and oil prices topped $115 a barrel. Gold closed in New York up $16.80 to $945.50. Silver rose 45 cents to $18.30. The dollar sank to an all-time low against the euro, with U.S. inflation at the wholesale level coming in three times as high as expected in March, reports CNN. More at SwissAmerica.com. In 2008, gold entered a new investment-driven phase that'll push prices above $2,000 an ounce in the next few years, according to Swiss America. Rising inflation is likely the next economic volcano to erupt. Call today for a free copy of Gold, The Next Stage at 888-732-7411. That's 888-732-7411. Again, 888-732-7411 before gold prices erupt further.
How do I love to listen to AVR? Let me count the ways. Listen online to your choice of seven streams by going to theamericanvoice.com. For those who don't have access to a computer, you can listen on your phone through our phone bridge, Monday through Friday from 9 to 9 Pacific by calling 1-712-580-1100. Enter the code 97524#. This is not toll-free, but if you have unlimited long-distance or cell minutes, it's great. Turn on your speakerphone so everyone can hear AVR, or go about your daily routine while you listen online or on the phone. We're also on KU-band satellite and on many FM stations, so look for us there too. Go to theamericanvoice.com for more details. And while you're there, check out our news page for the latest alternative news.
Listeners, we're back. I hope Bill is still on. Bill, are you there? You're there, Fred, but is my caller Bill still there? If not, Bill, call back, because I know you weren't done what you were saying, and I don't want you to think that I cut you off because of a commercial. So if he calls back, you know, we'll let him finish what he was saying. But we were starting to talk about the immigration thing. So are you telling me, we never did get this question answered here, Fred. Do you feel that...
The immigration problem is because of gross national sins led by abortion.
Yeah, I know.
If we had not aborted
49
million babies since abortion became so-called legal in the land, we wouldn't need one of the illegal immigrants in our land. We'd have plenty of people to fill all the jobs ourselves.
Okay, I know you've said that, but what I'm saying to you is we do have a problem. Whatever the problem is, whether it's from, you know, abortions, and you could very well be right, because I'm certainly not pro-abortion at all. I'm not even pro-choice. we have a problem, and we have people coming to our country who are abusing all of our benefits. They're abusing our school systems. They're abusing our health systems. And I'm saying, are we as Christians supposed to open our arms to them and say, well, that's okay, keep on coming, we'll take care of you because, you know, you're God's
people? That's a good question. The answer is, no, we should not. However, unless there's repentance of all the sins I've reiterated before, all the fences you're going to build, all the legislation you're going to enact, all the laws that you're going to pass, all of the police forces and border patrol that you are going to activate and put in almost army standing bases isn't going to stop it.
Well,
because unless there's repentance of sin, there isn't going to be any let up from it. And this is not just individuals repenting. This means repentance from the president on down, through the Congress, through the courts, through all of the states, all of the governors, all of the legislatures, all of the mayors, all of the police departments, all of the attorneys. Everyone stop their lying and cheating and stealing and committing adultery and killing people.
Fred, do you think that President Bush is a Christian?
He professes Christianity, but when you examine what a true Christian really is, he is a professing Christian, not a true Christian. He has certain Christian values, but he doesn't keep the Sabbath. He doesn't keep the holy days.
Well, how can he keep a Sabbath, though, as president? I mean, to his credit, that has to be a little difficult, right, in fairness to him.
Well, let's look at it this way. It'd be entirely possible if he were a true Christian. But we also know this. People can take certain values that are in the Bible and adhere to them, and they will be successful because God meant people to be successful when they adhered to his commandments and values that are listed out in the Bible. But that is only partial.
Okay.
See?
Now, you know, let's go with that, because one of the things that, you know, I certainly have given consideration to, the man says, I am born again, I am born again, I am born again. However,
no one's born again.
Well, yeah, Bush has said that. He says, I'm born again. Of course, to me, I think he's talking about he's born again in Satanism. I don't think he's born again as a Christian.
Well, you talking about the president?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Well, there's no such thing as a born-again Christian. That's a misnomer. Born-again means when you are resurrected from the dead and you're changed from flesh to spirit.
Okay. Let me ask you what I've started to ask you, because we keep getting off.
But if he belongs to the Skull and Crossbones, he's belonging to an organization that is not Christian.
Absolutely. And I'm saying, you know, I had said to you at the top of the show we were going to talk about Satanism and homosexuality as well. We have little time left before we move to Satanism, which has to do with the Skull and Bones. What do you think? And here's the question in the chat room. Let me just read it directly from the chat room. It says, ask him about the homosexual abomination. Isn't that bringing down the U.S.?
Yes, that is. Homosexuality is. And look at their agenda. Now, this is not a hate crime. This is not hate speech. This is based upon the guarantee of freedom of speech by the Constitution that we have. So I will continue. Homosexuality is a choice. They're not born homosexuals. Homosexuality is leading to death, sickness, disease. Physical, spiritual problems, and it's taking down the country. Let me read you a prophecy of what's happening in America and in the world today. But let's read it here concerning how God describes it and the very thing that is affecting us. Okay, Isaiah the first chapter. Isaiah, the first chapter. Just a minute. Let me get there. Okay. So God indicts us with his heavens. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I've reared up and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. Homosexuality is rebellion. Adultery is rebellion. Fornication is rebellion. Murder is rebellion. Abortion is rebellion. Sunday keeping is rebellion. Holiday keeping is rebellion. And yet everyone thinks, oh, this is wonderful. We're doing nice, see? Okay? Then he says, the ox knows its owner, and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know me. My people do not understand. Ah, a sinful nation, a people burdened with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. All you have, you don't believe that, all you have to do is just watch MTV. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backwards. And God says, why should you be stricken more and more? You revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the government. The whole heart is faint. That is all the people. From the sole of the foot to the top of your head, there's no soundness in it, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed nor bound up nor smoothed with ointment. Then it goes on saying your country is going to become a desolation. Strangers devour it right in your very presence. And then it says, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and would have become like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Then it talks about all their wonderful, sanctimonious religious services. And God says, who's required you to do this?
Okay, so your point to all of this, then, when I asked you the question about Bush, and is what?
My point is that the world is filled with counterfeit Christianity, counterfeit Christians, people who are out there trying to do good, who don't know how to do good, people who claim that they want to be saved, but they don't want to follow the word of God. You have people out there who rebel and reject God's way. You've got the whole combination of everything. You have some good, sincere people out there who are trying to really find out what the truth is, really trying to find God.
Okay, so where does that leave our president?
Where does that leave our president?
Yeah. I mean, if he's not a Christian, I mean, he professes to be one. You and I both have doubts whether or not he really is. Where does that leave him? Does
well,
that mean
him
that
in
we
God's
should
hands.
Not follow him because we don't believe that he is, or that he's serving something else?
Well, let's put it this way: only God knows the heart. Judging by their fruits, which we can do, we can say he undoubtedly is not a true Christian. But we can say he embraces many Christian values. But embracing some Christian values does not make one a true Christian. True Christianity comes with repentance and baptism and a total change of life.
Okay, so, I mean, I think we're in agreement with that, but he has certainly led people to believe he is Christian. So that
well, the devil likes to lead people to believe that he's God himself.
Well, all right, let's talk about the devil.
Okay.
The Skull and Bones is certainly a secret society, one of many, but we also know that the Skull and Bones worship, actually, the skull and the bones and other, and they have rituals, you know, satanic type of rituals. So are we talking about the devil being a real thing, a real entity, or just a spirit?
Oh, yes, real entity. Fallen angel who wanted to replace God. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
And he is there. Now, how are you going to identify? Let's, first of all, identify the elite who follow him. Some openly worship him.
Absolutely.
And that's what he requires to get the benefits that he wants to give, because he's the God of this world. And we find that in Matthew 4 with the temptation of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
after Jesus had fasted 40 days and nights. Afterwards, he was famished. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. So this is New Testament doctrine. So everybody listen up. Everyone who says Old Testament is done away, listen up. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if Jesus would have changed those stones to bread, which he could do, he would have obeyed Satan instead of God. All right, let's go on.
Well, you said something, Fred, about baptism, did you not?
Yes.
And what type of baptism?
Full immersion in water, because it is a covenant baptism into the conjoining to the death of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Romans, the sixth chapter.
Okay, I asked that because it was a question in the chat room, so I just want a clarification on that.
Yes. By the way, anyone can go to our website. We have hundreds and hundreds of sermons covering many, 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 many topics. You can download them into your computer, or you can even email us and ask us for things. We have series on Daniel, Revelation, Romans. We have scripturalism versus Judaism. We've got studies on Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, almost the whole Bible. We have pretty close to 2,000 sermons available.
All right, Fred, we were talking about Satan, and I know that Lucifer was an angel. In fact, he was a glorious angel, a beautiful angel.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
Not the image that we have of him today, certainly. I mean, we have that old image of him with the horns and a tail, and I know that's pretty facetious in itself. But here's the thing. Do you feel that Satan himself, as a fallen angel, do you feel there are demons here that are also fallen angels that still exist?
Oh, yes. Revelation 12 shows a third of the angels followed him in the rebellion, and they did just exactly what Satan wanted Christ to do. See? And he also told Christ, now, you throw yourself down from here, and God will save you. Give his angels charge over you. And Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So he took him to an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and the glory of them. And he said, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. That is all the glory, all the wealth, all the power. So from this, we don't have to have a great deal of knowledge and insight into conspiratorial theories. All we need to do is look to the super rich of the world and guess who they are following.
And who are they? Who are these people?
Well, you go to the Davos conference that they have. There are going to be a lot of them there.
You're probably going to find a lot
of them in Trilateral, Bilderbergers, the CFR, and its various branches around the world.
But who are some of the people?
Undoubtedly,
Fred?
The Masons are involved in that.
Fred,
so there are many of these secret organizations that are there. And the reason that they are secret is because if the average person really knew what went on, they would be appalled.
Okay, Fred, don't ignore me now. Tell me some of the names of the people you're talking about.
The people?
Yeah. Well, who are some of these people that we're referring to as, being followers?
Well, all you have to do is look at the elite of the world.
Okay, but who do you? I'm asking you though, Fred.
The top government leaders, the top banking leaders.
Give me some names just so my audience knows who you're talking about.
Those involved in one world system. Those who are involved in their lying and cheating finances that they've foisted upon the world.
Fred, can you give me some names so my audience knows who we're talking about?
Well, that might become very useless. So what I will do is let them use these things to analyze for themselves, and it won't be too hard to figure out who it is.
Okay, so we're talking about the Rockefellers. We're talking about these people who are very high level. That's who the high level people are.
Yeah, they fit into it.
Right? And we're talking about the Rothschilds.
Yes, and even Herr Ratzinger, who is visiting under the guise of the Pope.
Well, okay, so Ratzinger, do you think that he is, you think he's a global elitist?
Of course he is.
Okay, so what about the Black Pope?
Well, he's in charge of a lot of the dirty work that goes on.
So can we then say, in general, it's the Jesuits?
Well, you see, that's why you have to examine everything by the Word of God. If you don't examine it and judge it by the Word of God, then all you're doing is making salacious accusations against people, and you really don't know. But you can judge them by their fruits, and if their fruits, based upon what they do, and the Bible identifies these fruits as those things which are following the God of this world, then they're not from God the Father.
Uh-huh.
That's the best way to do it.
Somebody once said to me, and I kind of wondered it myself, and I did some research on it myself, to be perfectly frank, that Ratzinger was of Jewish ancestry. Is that possible?
Was what?
Of Jewish ancestry.
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, it's feasible. We've seen as how I think he's from Germany, is he not?
Well, I don't know about that. He is from Germany, but I would not want to fall into the trap of that conspiratorial theory. He is who he is, and he does what he does because he's dedicated in serving the whole principle of bringing a universal religion to the whole world.
And you think that's Roman Catholicism?
No, it will be a new universal religion that will include some parts of Catholicism, some parts of Islam, some parts of Hinduism, some parts of Protestantism, and so forth.
So, but what's his role then? I mean, he's in charge of a billion Catholics, so you must have some heady role in this.
Of course.
What do you think his role then is, to meld all of these religions into like a new age, and that's what
people... That's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, well, I agree.
A lot of it
you.
Behind the scenes.
So Catholicism is not the true Word of God, is that what you're saying?
No, never has been.
Hmm. Of course,
never
Catholics say that,
that
they are the
truth. That doesn't mean that there aren't some Catholic people who aren't good and nice and decent people, but that doesn't mean that they're following the true religion. If you're following the true religion, you're following the Bible, and they surely don't follow the Bible.
Well, you know, Malachi Martin said that this pope was the next to the last pope before the end of the world.
Ah, I've got something interesting on that. Yes, I've read that. I've read many of Malachi Martin's book. But what if this pope dies and another one takes his place, and he dies and then they elect another one, and maybe he's the last one? So what does this do? This destroys a lot of the prophecies that the Catholics have believed for years, their own prophecies, which may be lying prophecies, by the way. What are you going to do then? Well, then the third pope would come on and say, well, because this last one who just died was not the last one, therefore we have a new beginning, and we're going to start a wonderful new full-fledged world religion. Amen.
Well,
now, that's
that,
my theory on it.
If that were to happen, and I mean, I think that's a fairly good scenario, Fred. If that were to happen, though, that would, and you're saying that this would not develop unless it was God's time anyways, and if it came to that, and there really are supposed to be only, one more pope, if there's really only supposed to be one more pope and then two came along, then we were not in God's end times.
Well, the end time can include an extended period of time.
Where is that written in the Bible?
Well, it even says, Paul said, the last times are upon us.
Okay, but where does it say we get an extension?
Well, there's no extension. It just is we understand it only as we see the fulfillment. There's no extension. It is this, that what we suppose was correct may not necessarily be correct, and that if we accept a Catholic prophecy concerning this, and the Catholics are really not Christian, and these prophecies are really not from God, then we shouldn't be too surprised if they really were not fulfilled according to the way that they said.
All right, so, but, you know, here we are. I think that we are fairly close to end times, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes, yes.
In your mind, Fred, is America in the Bible in end times, or are we not in times? Are we going to collapse entirely before end times is even upon us?
America is in the Bible big time. We are one of the two major tribes of Israel, Manasseh. And England and America have ruled the world for 450 years combined all together. And they were the blessing to the world to bring the word of God, to bring enlightenment and all of this sort of thing. And now they've all turned their backs on God. And we are are suffering for the sins of rejecting God and not carrying out what God intended us to do. So that's why God reaches down and calls individuals, brings them to the knowledge of the truth. So if someone is truly hungering and thirsting after the truth, they'll find it. Go ahead.
What is our role, Fred, in, I know we're running out of time here, buddy. What's our role in the Bible in end times? You say we are in end times.
Okay.
Is America going to play a key role? Is it just going to fade?
It's in the fading part now because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, in other words, when end times comes, America will already be gone.
In captivity within its own land, probably in Mexamericana, renamed, and it's not their land any longer.
So it'll be North American Union.
Probably.
So what you're saying, then, America really is not in the Bible in terms of end time, because we'll be either entirely collapsed or...
Oh, yes, we are in the Bible in terms of end time, suffering under the punishment of God, and in a national captivity within our own borders, which is no longer our own land.
So how is this national captivity going to come down?
The stranger taking over.
Meaning who?
Well, all you have to do is look who the strangers are.
Okay, so are we...
From south of the border, from all around the world.
Well, you know, and I can't say you're off on that at all, Fred, because I do think we are heading for martial law.
That's going to come.
And I think that we are going to be captive. In fact, we're already captive. But
yes.
I do think that...
If you don't think that we're overrun by strangers and foreigners, just go to any government agency or call them, and you can hardly understand their English because they're some foreigner from some country.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not going to get an argument from me on this one, I'll tell you, because I happen to agree with you, and that's why I asked the question about illegal immigration, simply because we are being taken over, and I do foresee that, I have to say, the people who say to me, Gianni, America is not in biblical prophecy. Well, yeah, you might be right. They are in biblical prophecy, but they're under a whole different guise now, that we are a captive state, much like Israel was captive by the Egyptians.
Yes, all you have to do is look at Great Britain. Great Britain is almost totally gone.
How do you see that, Fred?
When the Queen and the Parliament signed the Treaty of 2008, they're going to become a part of the European Union. Britain's sovereignty will be nearly null and void.
I did not think they agreed to become part of the EU.
They're being forced to it because of the economics, and they're being forced to it because they haven't repented of their sins. Here's this great nation that brought the Bible to the whole world, that ruled the world. The British Empire, the sun never set on it, and they've turned to silliness and stupidity and atheism and just near insanity. Britain is in terrible shape.
Well, and that's the direction that we're going in for sure.
Yes, and Britain represents the tribe of Ephraim of the ten tribes in the end time.
And we're Manassas.
That's right.
So Fred, how much time do you think we have before it's all over?
Can't set a date.
I know you can't.
And
I know the
events.
Bible is very specific that you cannot set a date. And I'm not asking you to set a date. I'm just asking you in general terms. Are we looking at, in your mind, Fred, I'm not asking you to tell me what the Bible says because the Bible is very clear about that. But
yeah.
In your mind, Fred, as a scholar, do you see a year, 5 years, 10 years, what?
I would say more like 10.
I don't think America is going to last 10 years.
Well, see, we have to go into captivity and be under the hand of the stranger, so we'll have to wait and see how things come.
Hey, Fred, who's going to win the election? Quick.
I have no idea.
Oh, come on, guess, Fred.
I have no idea.
Hey, you've been a wonderful guest, a great sport, Fred. Thank you very much, and we'll get you back on. Listeners,
okay, let me hold on the line, and you catch me after you're done.
I will. Hey, listen, listeners, next week I have Dave Hunt coming on from Berean Call. You don't want to miss him. He's a great, great guest, too. Good night, everybody, and God bless.